Good afternoon, everybody, and let's talk a little bit about Parshas Miketz, Afreilich and Chanukah. So, in the beginning of this week's Parsha, we all know the opening words of the Psukim, Vayhi Miketz Shnasayim Yamim, Uparo Cholem, Paro has these dreams, Vihinei Omed Al Hayar, Paro sees the cows, and he sees the weak cows, the strong cows, he sees all the different tvua, all the different crops, all the different grain, Vayhi Baboker, and he asks everybody to come and figure out what this dream is all about. Vayishlach Vayikra as who? Kol Chartume Mitzrayim Ves Kol Chachameha. He calls upon all of the most intelligent, the most brilliant people of the country of Mitzrayim, and he asks them to please explain what his dream is all about. Ve'ein poser osam leparon. In fact, nobody is able to explain what these dreams are all about. Finally, after a few psukim later, we find that somebody informs him about Yosef HaTzadik. Va'itav adavar ve'enei paro ve'enei chalavadav. Yosef gives a interpretation to the dream, and Paro is finally satisfied, and that is the end of the story of the dreams. Now, it's very interesting because if you look carefully in the Psukim, we're told that who did Paro call upon to come and figure out what his dreams are all about? He didn't just call people off the street. Paro was calling on the most intelligent, the most brilliant, the sorcerers, the people who understood everything about everything, and they were the ones who were called upon to explain what the dreams were all about. So how could it be that they were not able to explain them, and Yosef all of a sudden was able to explain them? So Rashi points out that it's not that the sorcerers or that these intelligent people were not able to understand what the dream was all about. Rather, it's ein poser osam leparo. He says that Rashi points out that the pasuk is very meduyuk, that they weren't explaining them in a way that was satisfactory to Paro. Lahaylo koras ruach bepisronam. He wasn't satisfied with their interpretations. And then Yosef came along, and all of a sudden he gives some sort of interpretation, and Paro is somewhat satisfied with the pshat that Yosef says in his dream. What you see from here is, and this is what I want to discuss for the next few minutes, is that you can have two people looking at the very same situation. You can have two people looking at the very same scenario, and both of them come out with completely different outcomes. You can have, on the one hand, all the most intelligent, the most brilliant people in the world studying a dream and trying to figure out what it is, and they see one aspect. And then you can have a Yosef HaTzadik comes along and he sees something totally different. And this is something which I think is really in our power all the time. It's something that we always have the opportunity to do. We can look at a situation and depending on our outlook, depending on our perception, depending on our slant on life, that is going to depend how we translate what we are seeing as well. Your outlook really determines what your outcome is going to be. So we all know the famous story in Parsha Shlach, the story of the Meraglim, that Moshe Rabbeinu sends out the Anoshim Lasser Es Ha'aretz. He sends out the personalities to go and check out what's happening in Eretz Yisrael, and after 40 days they come back and they say Lashon Hara. And we know the Psukim tell us that Klal Yisrael is punished Yom Lashana. Klal Yisrael gets a punishment of 1 year in the Midbar, keneged each 1 day of the 40 days that the Meraglim were checking out Eretz Yisrael. As the pasuk says, Yom Lashana Tisu es Avonoseichem Arba'im Shana, that for 40 years they suffered because of the 40 days that the Meraglim were checking out Eretz Yisrael. And the question is asked by many Mefarshim, well, how many days were they doing in Avera? Seemingly the Avera only was 1 day. The Avera was when they came back and said the Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. How could it be that they got punished for 40 years in the Midbar, connected the 40 days that they were in the Midbar, that they were in Eretz Yisrael? The Avera was seemingly only the day that they returned, the day that they came back and said the bad news about Eretz Yisrael itself. And Rav Asher Weiss once told me the following explanation, that really, the whole mindset of this mission was off in the first place. They did wrong from day one. It's not just that the last day of the mission, when they came back and said the Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, that wasn't their only mistake. Their mistake was that from day one, the attitude that they had going into the experience was wrong. So everything that they saw and everything that they looked at in Eretz Yisrael was bad because they had an attitude and they had an outlook which was negative in the first place. So everything they saw subsequently was negative as well. So therefore, Klal Yisrael was punished not only for the Lashon Hara that happened on the last day, but also for the 40 days of looking, for the 40 days of searching, for the 40 days of understanding that was done with a terrible mindset. That is, it really seems in the Medrash Rabbah that the Medrash understands this as well, but that's basically the pshat why Klal Yisrael was punished 40 years to make up for the 40 days that the Meraglim did in Avera. The German philosophers, there was a famous German philosopher, we don't have to name him, but he said that you know, we all believe in God, and there's a lot to be learned from the way God set up the world, right? Obviously, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world in a certain way, it means that that was the best way that it should be. So the German philosopher, in trying to defend the position of the Nazis wanting to destroy the Jews and many other minorities, the German philosopher said, look, let's look at the Bria, let's look at nature, and let's see how God created the world. God created the world that the powerful, the dominant, the overpowering figures are always the one that wipe out the less fortunate and the less powerful. As we know, in the animal kingdom, you have the lions, the tigers, you have all the very strong animals. They're the ones who dominate. And, you know, the smaller animals, the insects and the reptiles and all the smaller ones, they obviously don't have a chance against these very powerful beings. So that is what the German philosopher explained, that he's just saying that we should learn from the way God created the world itself, that this is the way we should act as well. Obviously, God wanted the world to be like this, that the powerful should get rid of, I mean, in some sense, it's Darwinism, but that the powerful should get rid of the less powerful, that they should be the overpowering ones, and that is what he learned from the animal kingdom. Obviously, he's wrong, but the question is, why is he wrong? In a certain sense, he's correct. Yes, God created the world, and God did create the animal kingdom, and we should learn from the world. The Chavos HaLevavos spends a lot of pages figuring out what it is that the person should see in the world and what he should learn from it. So I just want to point out, the Gemara says in Ervin, Daf Kuf, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan tells us, had the Torah not been given, Umali lo nitna Torah, we would have still known the halachas of tznius from looking at a cat, from seeing how the cats act. We would have known derech eretz from chickens, from looking how the chickens act. And we would have known that one is not allowed to steal from the nemala, from the worms. And arayus miyona, we would have known that arayus is aser from a yona. So you see, you have two personalities here. Kaviyachal, on the one hand, you have Lahavdil, you have Rabbi Yochanan, and Ervin Daf Kuf looks at the same animal kingdom as this German philosopher, but he sees a totally different picture. He sees a beautiful animal kingdom that we have the opportunity to learn tznius and derech eretz and gzela and arayus from. And on the other hand, you have the German philosopher looking with his perspective, and he's looking at the very same thing, at the very same animal kingdom, but his outcome is completely different. His outcome is that the world is a terrible place, that the powerful should just eliminate the less fortunate. So this is an opportunity that everybody really has to look at a situation and look at it in a positive light and understand something that he can take away from the situation, which will be positive. I just want to close with one last story. The Gemara says in Tamid, on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, a very interesting story about Alexander the Great, that as we know, he was a tremendous conqueror, and he was moving along, conquering country after country, municipality after municipality, and the Gemara tells us there an interesting story, that after Alexander conquered a whole lot of land, so then he decided it's time for him to start conquering Africa, a certain place in Africa. So the Gemara tells us that he went to his chachamim, he went to his council, and he asked them, what's the greatest way for me to conquer this town in Africa that I would like to conquer? So he told them, no, it's not a good idea to go there because there's some strange phenomenon there that the sun never rises. I'm not sure if we know of such a place, but the sun never rises, and therefore you're going to be left in the dark, you're not going to know where you're going, you're not going to know how to retreat or how to go forward. So they said, it's not a good idea, you shouldn't go. So Alexander responds and he says to them, no, I absolutely would like to go. My question to you only was, how should I go? I know that it's dark. I know everything about it. I did the research. My problem is, although I want to conquer a country and I know that it's dark, I'm coming to the Chachamim, I'm coming to the council to figure out what's the smartest way to go about conquering this particular community. So they told him, they gave him an Eitzah, that he should take a certain type of horse, a certain type of donkey that's able to see through the night, as X-ray vision, and he said he should go with a whole fleet of these kind of horses, and then they'll be able to show you what is the way to conquer this town. Then they told him that as he goes along, he should take a very long string and leave a trail behind himself so that in case he has to retreat and the donkeys are stolen, he'll be able to retreat by following the trail behind him. So this is the Eitzah that they gave, and Alexander goes on his way, and he starts letting down the string, and the Gemara tells us he stops at a well to have a drink, he stops at a different place to have lunch, to have a picnic, and he stops here, he stops there. Finally, he reaches the community which he wanted to conquer, and he gets there and he sees, it's strangely enough, it's a whole community consisting of women only. There's no men in the community. So he comes to them and he says that he's going to wipe all them out because he wants to conquer the town. And they start making fun of him. They say, what, you want to go down in history as the man who just killed that woman? So he says, what should I do? Back and forth, negotiating. Finally, he realizes that he's not going to get anywhere. He realizes that he's going to be defeated. He doesn't have a chance of winning in this strange community that's all made of women, that's totally dark. So he decides he's going to turn around, he's going to turn back, and he's going to retreat. And he hangs up a big sign in the town that Alexander the Great was here, and he let you off, he let you go, he didn't kill you out. Okay. So the Gemara tells us that on his way back, he's following the string. As we know, the council told him that he should put out a string, and he should follow the string back in case he has to retreat. So the Gemara tells us that he follows the string back, and he gets to the same well that he went on the way there. He stopped by a well to get a drink. On the way back, he stops at the very same well. The Gemara says that he stops there, and he has some sort of revelation coming up from the well. He feels as if this is Reach Gan Eden. He says he feels as if this well has properties of Gan Eden itself in it, and he's totally overwhelmed by that, and the Gemara goes on to talk about that. So Rav Asher Weiss points out, he once told me this in the name of his father, that it's a little bit strange and hard to understand. Don't we know that the well is the same well that he went to on the way there? So how come he didn't feel this tremendous overwhelming power of Gan Eden when he went on his way there to the well? How come he only felt it on the way back? So Rav Asher Weiss's father explained that on his way there, he had feelings of arrogance, he had feelings of presumption. He wanted to conquer. He wanted to conquer the whole world. So on his way there, he just simply wasn't receptive to anything that was going on around him. He wasn't able to look at the well and really appreciate the fact that that really had properties of Gan Eden. But on his way back, when he was defeated, when he was overcome, when he was crushed, and when he realized that he wasn't going to conquer, and he was not arrogant anymore, and now he was just retreating, on his way back then he realized that his eyes were open. He was able to appreciate things that were going on around him. He didn't have this resistance anymore inside of himself. His mindset changed. Once a person's mindset changes, all of a sudden he's receptive and he's able to pick up things that are going on around him, even though he's passed them many different times, but now he has a different outlook, he has a different perception. So let's just quickly review. We spoke about Yosef and the Chartumim, that they both see the same dream, but they have different outlooks. So the Chartumim come to one conclusion, Yosef comes to a completely different one. We spoke about the Meraglim, why they were punished 40 years in the desert because of the 40 days, and the answer was because the 40 days in and of themselves were a problem as well. The 40 days were spent with a bad attitude, with a poor and negative outlook, and therefore they came back with a poor and negative report. We spoke about the German philosopher who sees the animal kingdom as one of death, of blood, of power, as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan who sees it as an animal kingdom of chesed, an animal kingdom of derech eretz, of midos. And finally, we discussed the story about Alexander the Great, who sees this Reach Gan Eden only on his way back, but not on his way there, because his mindset changed. It's something for us to think about, that sometimes we can even pass up an experience, we can even pass up the opportunity to feel and to touch and experience Gan Eden itself on this world. That's what we see from Alexander. If a person doesn't have the right mindset, if a person doesn't have the right outlook, and he's not positive about things, sometimes he can even pass up the opportunity to touch Gan Eden and to enjoy and appreciate that in Olam Hazeh itself. I wish everyone a Freilichen Chanukah and a wonderful Shabbos up ahead.